Hello and welcome to the second episode in Bird's information podcast series about fibromyalgia syndrome. My name is Mel Brook and I am Bird's patient and public engagement programme director. In this episode, we are back talking with Dr. Maddie Piper, a consultant rheumatologist. We're focusing in on the mental health impacts that fibromyalgia can cause for some people, learning about the grief cycle and the importance of asking for help, and looking at ways how you can empower yourself with a strategy that works for you. Maddie also tells us why looking after yourself and giving yourself permission to acknowledge the impacts of fibromyalgia is so important. We also talk about how connecting with things like a patient support group can really help. There are psychological benefits, a sense of community, shared experience and reassurance, so much value. And in the show notes, we'll be sharing some links on where you can get more information and hopefully more support. We talked about how life-changing this can be. So, I mean, it's worth trying to put the effort into making as many changes as you can yourself. We talk a little bit about the mental health impacts and things. I know you've talked to me before about the grief cycle.
Yes, I've talked to patient groups as well about that, and I always find it an incredibly powerful area when I discuss this with patients, and it really means a lot to them. So the grief cycle is a fascinating and important understanding of how human beings deal with loss that was described by a woman scientist called Kubler-Ross. And she identified in grief that we all go through five stages. So you go through denial, then anger, then bargaining, then depression, and then finally acceptance. And she described it for grief, for losing a loved one. But over time, what has been understood is that any loss is dealt with by human beings in that same way. And being told that you have a chronic condition like fibromyalgia is a loss. It's a loss of your sense of self sometimes, but a loss of your feeling of health and all the concerns you have about the future. So patients do go through those stages. And I think one of them that is important for everyone is around the patient is the anger phase. Mm-hmm. Because patients will lash out at loved ones, at maybe even work colleagues and at doctors. And it's just part of that natural process. And if they understand that and they can explain it to the people around them, then that helps deal with it a great deal. The other important thing is not to think that you will simply go through the five stages and come out the other end and on you go. It's a very complicated process. And sometimes people get stuck in one of the phases, particularly in denial and depression. Mm. And again, with a bit of support and understanding what's going on, they can move through that. And sometimes patients go backwards and forwards a bit. So they're doing very well. You know, they're moving through the cycles, but then they go back to depression or, you know, whichever phase that they've just gone beyond. And again, you know, support and understanding. It's important because partly it helps people understand what they're going through and that it's normal and natural and they need to do it in order to get through the process. But they need to eventually get to acceptance, because it's only when you get to acceptance that you can really tackle the condition. You can accept, yes, I've got fibromyalgia. Now, how am I going to go about dealing with it? And what do I have to do in my life to manage it as best I can? It's really helping patients to understand that this is natural and normal and they need to go through it. And if they struggle to go through it, which is an abnormal grief reaction, they need to try and get some help.
Absolutely. And I think this is so true. This whole cycle and the way that you bounce back into it is so true for a lot of conditions that are chronic. And, you know, the frustrations that rise again, you think you've got to a place where you understand it, and then something happens and your condition means you can't do it. So it's a really important thing to understand. And I would say to anybody listening to this that even sharing this podcast with family members or friends could help the people around them understand them and sort of validate that this is a real thing for them and this is a cycle that they go through.
Absolutely. I think that thing of sharing with the people around you is hugely important. And I think people often try not to do it. They try to, you know, cope on their own or try not to burden the people around them. But once you start just saying to people, you know what, I'm having a really bad day today, or, you know, whatever it is, things generally are much easier and much better. You start sharing the word.
Absolutely. It's hard to ask for help, but it's... if you can try and ask for help, I think it will make a big difference, won't it, going forward?
Yes, absolutely. It's all part of this issue that I know we've discussed before of really giving yourself permission to have fibromyalgia, you know, and I think the long history of uncertainty around this diagnosis has made a lot of patients really hard on themselves. And think, well, maybe there's nothing wrong with me, or maybe I'm just making a fuss, or, well, no, we understand this condition much, much better than we did. And if you've got fibromyalgia, you need to look after yourself in the way that you would look after someone you loved who told you they had fibromyalgia, you know?
Yeah.
You have to look after yourself and admit that, you know, when you've got a bad day, you've got to go a bit slower. And when you've got a good day, you've got to be careful and take it, you know, cautiously and all the rest of it. So, very, very important, I think, for patients with fibromyalgia, which has had this very complex history and continues to be an area where we're understanding it but don't understand it yet, to just say, well, you know, they're working on it, but I do have fibromyalgia and I need to look after myself accordingly, you know, accepting that that is my condition.
Yeah, great advice, Maddie. Is it something that is, does it ever stop? Is it reversible? Is it something that goes away? We haven't talked about that really, have we?
No, we tend to consider that it is a chronic condition. Partly you've got the genetic predisposition and something has triggered it off. I have had patients who have found out what it is, gone on the self-management program or got involved in a group as a patient support group, have done extremely well. I've had one or two who've kind of bounced into clinic and said, you know, I feel wonderful now, I think everything's fine. That's actually extremely rare. Most patients do well once they understand the condition and start to manage it. There was a two-year community-based study in England which showed 65% of patients improved over 2 years with input. So I think we need, patients should feel that they can improve and things will get better. And with the right management, it will get better, but it very rarely goes away completely. And the other area that I think can be challenging for patients, but which, you know, you do need to understand, is that it tends to wax and wane. So you can have better periods where it's not such an issue, and then it can come back as a bit of a flare for no specifically known reason. Sometimes though, if you go through a bad patch, so if there's a stress at home or at work or an illness of some other kind that comes on board, then that may trigger a less good period. And again, once patients have gone through the self-management program, I say to them, you know, if you do have a stress or if there's an ongoing stress and you know that it's going to come back and be an issue, you just be aware that your fibromyalgia is likely to cause more problems. It's likely to get worse. So you've really got to go back to basics and do that pacing and planning and try and do your sleep hygiene and relaxation and try and be proactive, because it will wax and wane. So yes, it can go away very rarely. Usually it's chronic. It does get better with proactive self-management, but unfortunately it can wax and wane, remit and relapse over time. So, but if you know how to manage it again, that gives you a little bit more empowerment to take control when it does start to kick off a little bit, which it can do unpredictably.
So enjoy the good days and the good times for however long they last, and be kind to yourself and look after yourself on the not so good days, and get the support from the people around you. You mentioned peer support groups there, and I think that's something that's also a really good way of people being able to vent and understand their condition and just know that they're supported through other people's experience. We shouldn't you know, miss that out as an important part of someone's self-management and general well-being.
Well, I think that's hugely important, Mel, absolutely. And it's an area that with the greater understanding of fibromyalgia and the greater awareness of fibromyalgia over the last 10 years or so has really expanded. And with technology, with the fact that, you know, we have so much online. So there are some national groups. They've changed over the years, but there's Fibromyalgia Action UK. I think there's Forever Friends, and there are various ones. If you Google Fibromyalgia UK, there are the national organisations, but there are lots of groups locally and online. And you're absolutely right. A lot of patients say to me they've never heard of fibromyalgia, even though it is common, you know, 1 in 20 to 1 in 40 people, but they've never heard of it. And then to go on to a patient support group and find all these other people who experience exactly what you've experienced is incredibly reassuring. And you've now got a community of people who totally understand where you're coming from. And it's also very helpful to share experiences of what works for people, you know. And again, in clinic, there might not be things that we would promote, you know, non-medical things, things that we don't even know about. But support groups can share these things and say, well, you know, I find a hot shower just before I go to bed is incredibly helpful. Somebody mentioned to me an electric blanket, which I'd totally forgotten about. It sounds very 1970s to me, but it had revolutionised their lives. So someone in the support group said, well, I use an electric blanket. And it had changed her life, because we know that in fibromyalgia, warmth often relieves the pain, and cold seems to worsen it. So support groups are a massive resource for psychological benefit, for reassurance, and for that little toolbox that I mentioned earlier of finding what works for you.
Absolutely. And we've talked about lots of other things that people can do to help themselves. We've talked about, you know, building therapy goals and pacing themselves, and smoking and things like that. Is there any evidence for things like diet being a factor? I mean, obviously there's the general health and well-being, but is there any links there that we can discuss?
There's nothing specific with diet, and I think that often disappoints people, but in rheumatology in general, there are no specific links between the conditions we look after and diet, although there is quite a lot of ideas online and, you know, out there in general, but nothing that's evidence-based. So we would just say a good general diet. Medically, there's a little evidence that what we call the Mediterranean diet may be the healthiest diet of all, which is more olive oil, lots of salads and vegetables and fish, and less meat. So beyond that, beyond a sort of good, healthy, mixed diet, no. With mobility, you might think a little bit about things like vitamin D, and you know, if patients are stuck at home because they're not going out very much, vitamin D levels can drop. So that might be an area to think about supplements, especially during the winter months, or to discuss with your GP. But no, there's no specific diet, unfortunately, that is has shown to make a significant difference.
So we talked about the other healthcare providers that can be part of the support as well. Is there things like a patient advice line or nurse specialist that people can contact? Is that a thing?
Well, for fibromyalgia patients, it's a little different from some of our other patients in the sense that once a patient is diagnosed in rheumatology clinic, the treatment then is the self-management program with physiotherapy and occupational therapy. So we don't keep fibromyalgia patients on long-term rheumatology follow-up. So although we do have an advice line, that's mainly used by our long-term patients. The self-management group certainly did. I'm being a bit cautious because COVID has thrown everything up in the air. I'm not exactly sure what the current protocol is, but they do a follow-up. So the advice line does exist, and certainly if a new drug is started, in clinic, then the patient could certainly call the advice line for that. But mostly the patients are then referred on and not seen again in rheumatology clinic because we don't have anything specific to offer in the rheumatology clinic. It's physio, OT, and then the general practice clinic would be the next port of call, really, if there were concerns.
Well, I'll put as many links as we can into the show notes so that people can go and find out what's available in their areas. And it might be that if they're listening in a different area, you know, around the UK, things will vary. So we'll put some links in the show notes. People probably need to go and do a little bit of research about that to find out what's available to them.
That would be great.
So before we sign off, because I think we have talked through quite a lot here, and we're really grateful. I know that we touched earlier on maybe some research that's coming out of some of the conferences. Is there anything else we can add to that we've heard about recently?
I think I've covered the main things, really. The big new thing really was the paper published last year, which showed a possible autoimmune link. That has been the major change in the understanding so far. And I think we just have to wait for that. So that has been really the main step forward, that there is this whole new area that is being looked at now.
So kind of a watch this space, and we'll share news when we hear things. Okay, brilliant.
Absolutely. And not get too enthusiastic and overboard. You know, this is an interesting finding, but it hasn't really given us enough information to change how we manage fibromyalgia at the moment. We've really just, as you say, watch this space. Let's see what develops out of this, and if it does change management down the line. At the moment, we're not there yet. We just have to see what comes out of it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for such a comprehensive overview of FMS and fibro, Maddie. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we're really grateful for your time in helping to create this information podcast as a resource for people.
Well, thank you so much, Mel. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Great. Thanks, Maddie.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much to Dr. Maddie Piper, who has shared her knowledge and information with us across these first two episodes in Bird's Fibromyalgia podcast series. Please do make sure to tune in to our other episodes in this series for more advice, information and tips to help you live as well as you can with fibro. Bird are committed to helping patients increase knowledge about rheumatic conditions because we know this can have a really positive impact on living with them. We also have a great focus on enabling people to get involved in rheumatology research to help make sure that new medications and treatments meet the needs of patients. We couldn't do any of this without the help of our volunteers and the support of our donors and sponsors, all of whom we are immensely grateful to. You can sign up to be notified about all our podcasts and our patient engagement research opportunities by joining our mailing list. Just send an email to admin@birdbath.org.uk. The address and links are in the show notes.